Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The story begins in 1981 in the high desert of Tucson, Arizona, with a bold idea that the ARC should not merely adopt technology developed by others, but should be at the forefront of testing and fielding combat capabilities. Out of this idea came the formation of the Air Reserve Component Fighter Weapons Office with a simple but powerful mission to be the operational test and evaluation arm for the Air Reserve Component. Its founders envisioned a lean, agile team that could test, evaluate, and field capability directly to the warfighter and fast.
This is actually a really interesting story. That's Colonel Daniel Roscoe's call sign, Whitmer. He is the commander of the Air National Guard Air Force Reserve Command Test Center, or AATC, based out of Tucson. But he was here last week talking to the folks at Eglin as they unveiled a new facility or a new unit, essentially, that is going to study how to make the F-35 more lethal, more effective, more deployable, particularly for the Air National Guard. And really, really interesting development for our area. It's, you know, it's great for jobs. It's great for what you're going to see in the air. But it's great for more than that because as later speakers in this presentation, and I really want to give credit to Channel 3 for, you know, providing that on Facebook. Otherwise, I wouldn't have seen it. And I'll just tell you the truth. This is one of the most important things I watched in the last, I don't know, month, year, like week for sure. And I'll be sharing that with you throughout the morning because it's not so much the F-35 testing unit coming here. That's not the big deal. It's what got said in the process of announcing that or, you know, ribbon cutting that development. Anyway, back to Roscoe.
From its earliest days, AATC is focused on fielding advanced capabilities with the same agility and precision as their active component counterparts. AATC did more than just keep pace. It started setting the pace, often by taking commercial solutions or low-cost modifications and proving their viability in real-world environments.
You know, the idea there is they're not the number one resource in the military. They're not the first line of testing. They're not the, you know, high funding, high priority. They're the Air National Guard. They're the, you know, the backups, if you want to think of it that way. And so them getting the resources, it just doesn't happen, but they still are required to be at mission readiness and to come up with answers and solutions and improvements. And they do, but they have to do it on a budget, which means they have to be more innovative, basically, you know, make more with less.
AATC ensured that ARC pilots weren't flying yesterday's technology into today's battle space and quickly carved out a reputation for delivering combat capability to the warfighter fast, cost effectively, and without compromise.
And remember, you're talking here about people who are, you know, not full-time airmen. You're talking about people who are, you know, part-time, right? They're not there all the time working professionally as military. They're people who are, you know, they're citizen airmen, okay? Which means that they've got to develop these capabilities for people who aren't practicing every day, basically.
As the GWAT unfolded, the test center's role expanded dramatically. AATC proved its value in combat by rapidly integrating targeting pods, GPS weapons, data links, and threat warning systems, many of which were fielded directly into combat zones in record time. These weren't lab projects. They were life-saving tools fielded by citizen airmen for citizen airmen. Today, AATC conducts test and evaluation across numerous platforms and mission sets, and now the F-35.
Yeah, which, again, that's really quite a development for Eglin to be having this additional element of what they're doing.
It is a model for innovation and rapid modernization, an organization that breaks down stovepipes and accelerates warfighter readiness. Its efforts have saved the DoD hundreds of millions of dollars and delivered life-saving capability to airmen faster than ever before.
And then one final thing from Roscoe, because that's just kind of to understand the backdrop here. For, you know, what General Spirek was saying, which was, I thought, the most important part. That's what I'm going to share with you next. But anyway, final comments by Colonel Whitmer.
The history of AATC is a story of ingenuity, determination, and excellence, a testament to what citizen airmen can accomplish when empowered to lead. A reminder that innovation doesn't only happen in laboratories or headquarters. It happens right here in the field by dedicated professionals who never stop pushing the mission forward.
So I listened to all of that and I thought, okay, good. I'll cover that on the show. That's good. I mean, it's a good story. It's an interesting story. It's a military story. It means that you're having more development of the F-35 here in Northwest Florida. These are good things. But none of that was the stuff that made me go, oh my God. It was the speech in the middle. It was Major General, that's a two-star, okay? Major General Juice Spirak, as his call sign is Juice. The speech he gave was the one that made me think, oh, because I hadn't been. And I knew something was likely to be interesting when he began his speech.
I got a speech here that's really well written. It's about an hour long.
I was joking.
I'm not going to use it. I'll be able to send it out to you later. You can read it. Have fun with that. I am, though, particularly moved today, and I got a couple things to say.
Okay. I mean, you know, when you put your prepared remarks aside and you're just going to talk from the heart as a two-star, okay, he is the acting director for the Air National Guard, so he's got like 100,000 men and women report to him, I think is the number. He did not mince words. And that's when I really started paying attention to this event that was, like I said, it was just an event, an unveiling of a new mission at Eglin. You know, you might otherwise think no big deal. And it wasn't maybe that big of a deal until you hear this.
I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't think we got a fight coming. If you don't think that, you've probably got your head in the sand, right? I think as warriors, we understand and realize this, and it's our solemn responsibility to take care of our force.
We're going to war. According to him. Against China. Period. And the reason I say it like that, and the reason I'm highlighting this today, is because I think we all know, if you've been paying attention, you know that there's potential conflict with China. You know that we're in a trade war right now with China. You know that we're in an influence war around the world with them, that they have been gaining and exerting and insinuating. And you heard top of the hour talking about their influence in Cuba, but whether it's the Panama Canal or whether it's Africa, whether it's them building, you know, crappy concrete dams in exchange for getting influence and mineral rights or access to other things that are important to them. And then the dams break in a couple of years and, well, tough for you, too bad. You shouldn't have partnered with us, but we still got what we want out of the deal. Like, they have been actively for a long time expanding influence, creating islands in the South China Sea, like literally building islands out of the sea, out of the ocean, so that they could have airstrips where there were never even islands before, harassing freedom of navigation efforts by the United States. And we've been pushing back and establishing freedom of navigation in that area. You know about Taiwan. You know that they view that as a part of their country. You know that, and their Navy has been growing and outpacing, you know, they've been growing, we've been shrinking. They've been investing in resources, whether it's shipbuilding or plane building or anything else, and we have been, you know, watching and wringing our hands. Okay. Where I had been prior to hearing this speech is I'd been thinking, yeah, no. But surely we can deter them. Surely what we've always done, what our policy has been let's be the biggest, baddest stick on the block and let's scare everybody and make the calculus too bad for them to be willing to engage in actual war. Right? And I kind of believe that would happen. I kind of believe that we would succeed at that mission. Well, General Spirak, doesn't think that we are capable of succeeding at that mission. Now, I am sure he is 100% committed to the best possible efforts to deter and discourage. But he does not seem to think, and again, he did not mince words on this, he doesn't seem to think that that's going to pay off. He doesn't think it's going to be able to be deterred.
Do our priorities, does our pace, what we're working on, how we're training, how we're generating readiness, does it match that reality? I ask that question of myself every single day.
again, the reality of we have a fight coming. Are we training? Are we preparing? Are we innovating? Are we researching? Are we funding? Are we expanding on the belief that we're going to war against the Chinese and whoever else winds up being involved? Or are we training, equipping, funding, expanding on the belief that it'll be okay? It's not really going to happen. Because they're two different paths, right? They're two different sets of priorities. They're two different sets of concerns and willingnesses. Because if you really and truly believe we're going to war, and apparently he does, and I don't know what broader administration he speaks for, but I don't think a two-star is just going to get out on a limb and say something like this unless he feels pretty comfortable moving away from his prepared remarks about something that we should probably be listening to.
The privilege of my position, I have become singularly obsessed with wartime readiness. I know in my heart, I know it, that at some point in my tenure, I'll be sending our men and women off to war. I'll be patting them on the back. I do not want to have any regrets at that moment that I haven't done my level best leading up to that point to ensure that I've enabled and empowered, that I've fought for the right things, I spent money in the right way to have our men and women ready for war. And it's going to happen. It is.
Again, his perspective is, I have to send people to war. Real, big, full-scale war. Not minor military expeditions that matter. Not discouraging the Houthis in Yemen. It matters. You know, not providing air dominance over a battle space. It matters. Not even supplying military armaments to Ukraine and training. It matters. But full-blown war. And he's, again, all I'm doing is telling you what he's saying. And he's saying that's happening in my tenure, which would be in the next 5-10 years. And if we're not training and equipping and innovating toward that, we're not doing our job.
Anybody else in this room here in the test community frustrated looking at our adversaries at the pace at which they are innovating? We should be offended by that. Yet we are our own worst enemy. I'm not saying anything denigrating. I don't mean to denigrate our test apparatus, our industry. We are what we are. We are safe and effective. But we must move faster. Creating this air dominant CTF here with the F-35 is an exemplar of that.
And largely because, you know, we're too concerned about safety. Well, what good does it do to save a couple of lives now if it costs us 50,000 lives later because we didn't develop fast enough, seriously enough? We didn't train enough. Again, you know, how do you behave when you're actually at war differently? Well, it's coming, so we better get our minds right doing it that way.
For those who might not be fully acquainted, Roscoe gave a great roll-up of the test center. Something about the culture of that organization that I so love. There's all kinds of great quotes hanging from some of the great test center directors all around the building. One of which I appreciate most is, it doesn't count until it's flying in the field, right? And I know many of you are test professionals in the room, marvel at what we're creating, but must think to yourself, it really doesn't matter until it's strapped to this one and this one, being used by a warfighter. All the bugs worked out, TTPs worked out, and it's generating lethality. We must move at the speed of relevance.
And right now, we're not. Across the board. Whether it's air, sea, land, we just aren't. We're sort of doing it, you know? I mean, I think we've gotten very comfortable assuming that the status quo will persist. But history tells us, if nothing else, there's always somebody willing to take the risk that war is in their best interest. And that's not just a theoretical concern, at least in his mind.
What I also admire about the Air National Guard Air Force Reserve Test Center, it is a true manifestation of our culture in the Guard and the Reserve. This isn't a complaint about our reality, Gina. You and I talk about this all the time. We are asked to generate the same level of readiness for about, 30 cents on the dollar, however you want to measure that. That's our lot in life. In many ways, it's also the wellspring of our strength. Because if you're never fully funded, you never have all the resources you need, not that anybody does, you naturally become an innovator. You're trying to figure out the 80% solution for 20% of the cost. Another famous test center model.
Yeah, instead of living the fat and happy life, you do more with less because you have to do more with less. Final thought from him, and then I'll give you some analysis of why this matters. If it's not obvious why it matters already.
The progress must start today, but it must increase tenfold. Trust me, I'm telling you, because if you believe in your heart like I do, that we got a fight coming. That's the sense of urgency we must inculcate into our test apparatus. And I have every confidence he'll make it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
All right, so here's my thought, okay? And we'll come back to this later, but here was my thought. If you take that as a given, and he seems to think that it is, that we are going to be at war with the Chinese in the near future, within the next couple of years, it suddenly looks like what President Trump is doing may not be crazy after all. If you look at where we're slashing funding, if you look at where he's engaged in active, overactive, ridiculously active trade negotiations, onshoring manufacturing capability, getting domestic production of everything better, securing rights and access to all kinds of resources around the world, including rare earth minerals, thinking about the significance of the geography of Canada or Greenland or the Panama Canal, trimming the fat in the upper leadership of the Pentagon, as Pete Hegseth has called for a reduction in flag officers, you start to think that maybe there's an underlying goal in all of it that he takes seriously that nobody else does and nobody else has. Now, I don't know if that's the organizing principle of the Trump administration at this moment. But again, it's just not that likely, in my opinion, that a two-star general is going to get out and say something crazy out of line with what the entire defense apparatus in this country believes in some announcement about a testing facility expansion at Eglin Air Force Base, unless he believes, no, this is the reality. So when I heard it, it changed the way I thought about a bunch of things. I wanted to share it with you. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Uses directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Don't say we're not going to take the car home. Please don't say we're not going to take the car home. Please don't say.
If you had access to a car like this, would you take it back right away? Neither would I.
Good morning, 529 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Another round of voting at the Vatican has passed with no pope selected. Black smoke was seen coming from the chimney at the Sistine Chapel. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is expected to announce an overhaul to the nation's air traffic control system later today. This comes after continuing delays in Newark at the airport resulting from their communication blackout. And a trade deal with the United Kingdom could be announced later today. This after President Trump said he'll be announcing a major trade deal in a post on Truth Social yesterday. The expected deal comes amid economic uncertainty.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You know, the one thing I've been thinking about, John, with this the rounds of successive smoke.
Right.
Feels like the NFL draft a little bit.
Oh,
it's like the Catholic draft.
You're right.
You know, it's like we do or we don't get what we want. I mean, maybe what they really need is like a Roger Goodell type to come out and get booed by the audience and really get us worked up about it.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Black smoke rising from the first vote today at the Vatican on day number two of the conclave. No pope yet. No cardinal reaching two-thirds of the votes. As many as two more votes could come today. This man from Chicago describes the setting.
It's edgy, yeah. People are on edge. They, you know, it doesn't happen very often.
And President Trump posting on Truth Social should be a very big day, exciting day for the U.S. and the United Kingdom at the Oval Office, 10 a.m. with reports they've reached a trade deal.
Now, at the same time, the administration is moving ahead with talks with China over the weekend, trade talks. But don't look for the massive tariffs on that country's goods to come down while these talks move forward.
Fox's Doug Guzader. India fires and attack drones into Pakistan today, wounding four soldiers. That's according to the Pakistani military. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3 right now. It is 68 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Two men have been arrested, and deputies are still searching for a third suspect after a fatal shooting back in April. The sheriff's office says 21-year-old Michael Points and 17-year-old Caleb Bonner are charged with homicide. They were taken into custody this week. 19-year-old Antonio Larkins is still wanted by the Escambia Sheriff's Office. If you have any information, you can contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. A Pensacola man is dead after being hit by a vehicle while crossing the street. FHP says this happened on 98 west of Amberwood Drive early on Wednesday morning. Troopers say the 30-year-old was crossing the street in an improper location and walked into the path of a car driven by a 21-year-old. The man died at the scene. Two town officials have resigned in Century. North Escambia reports that Seat 5 council member Sandra McMurray Jackson and town clerk Carrie Moore have both submitted resignation letters. McMurray Jackson had served on the council since 2010. She says she's stepping away to focus on other things. Moore has not specified why she resigned. Well, a woman's dead after being shot by deputies in Broward County. This happened last night. The sheriff's office there says the woman had a gun. A deputy was also hurt, but it's not clear whether they were shot. The deputy was taken to the hospital. There's currently no word on their condition. Governor Ron DeSantis says the state house is working to kill property tax relief by creating a task force to propose constitutional amendments.
You don't convene a 37-person committee if you're trying to get something done. You convene a 37-person committee if you're trying to smother it in the crib.
And the governor says the panel includes Democrats who don't want tax relief. He also criticized the House panel proposal to roll back sales tax by a 0.25%. The governor says that would give relief to tourists and part-time residents. State lawmakers will be back in Tallahassee next week to continue work on a state budget. The State Supreme Court is hearing arguments as to whether or not it's constitutional to impose two life sentences on a then 17-year-old that's convicted of murder and attempted murder. Corey Johnson apologized to the mother of the 13-year-old victim he's accused of stabbing during a sleepover party in Palm Beach Gardens in 2018. Defense attorneys claim Johnson was psychotic and delusional from taking prescription medications and watching ISIS videos. It's 534 News Radio, 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies, and let's get a look at our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. 60% chance of rain, high near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Friday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 80 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Saturday with a high near 79 degrees and a low near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' first morning weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got 68 degrees in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air. Tune in today at 9:30. See you groovy people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 537 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a really good discussion with Mayor D.C. Reeves. By the way, it'll be a little bit wonky right at the end because, you know, we had the phone disconnect on us briefly, but I just didn't want that to be a big surprise a little bit later on. Anyway, Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So I think the big topic of the day is probably the airport and the concerns about what's going to be happening with the TSA new requirement that people use real ID. Something like 19%, I'm told, of travelers do not have real ID. That's one in five. And they're not going to be turned away, but they're going to get a little bit of enhanced screening, whatever that means. But that's still a pretty big wrinkle if 20% of your people are going to have to spend more time in line, right?
Yeah, and most of our conversation, you know, when folks have asked me about it, you know, what does this mean for me? They've been giving out these real IDs for quite a while now, so I'd hate to misquote the exact number, but for many, many months and years, if you've gotten your ID renewed or replaced, it will be a real ID. So that's why 81%, 82%, whatever right. That number is, you know, have it already. So there's a very, very good chance if you're waking up this morning and saying, oh, shoot, do I have that? There's a very good chance you already do, which you could really tell by the star on your on your license. But yeah, obviously, we're going to do everything we can. You know, we want everybody to have a good travel experience. And, you know, this is a rule happening everywhere. This is not a Pensacola, Florida rule, obviously. But you know, we're going to try to navigate this the best we can to get everybody on the new technology that is needed for our increased sense and for security. But, you know, we want to try to keep everybody happy. So, yes, we'll do everything that we can. But check your ID this morning. Do us a favor. And if you don't have the right one, to get down to the tax collector's office to get wherever you can get your license renewed.
Well, as somebody who's had to go twice recently to the tax collector's office to get something done, let me just say, good luck. it's not always smooth. I love Scott Lunsford. He does a good job. He's dealing with some software things right now that do not make life better for everybody. One of the things on the agenda for next week is this Vision Zero. And, you know, I guess it's a Casey Jones proposal. It's the buzzword around the nation, feds, state, local. The TPO talks about this. I have said this before. I'll say it again. I'm willing to be the bad guy. I think Vision Zero is crazy, and here's why. We are never going to really implement public policy around the idea of having zero fatalities, pedestrian or cars, because we could do it if we make the speed limit 20 miles an hour everywhere, and we're not willing to do it because there are, you know, efficiency, speed, convenience are also factors that we need to keep in mind. And as a result of that, you know, we could put limiters on all the cars and make them can't go over 20 miles an hour, but we're not going to do that. And so then what?
Yeah, listen, and I think, first of all, let's just talk whether we make this designation a council, which I certainly expect that we will, Councilman Jones sponsoring it, you know, what tactics do we have in place? What are we doing as a city to increase pedestrian and bicycle safety? I would put our 2.5-year record up against just about anybody's in terms of whether it's the Sun Trail, whether it's narrowing lanes on Palo Fox, whether it's Hollis T. Williams, you know, certainly we have made significant efforts to increase accessibility and safety,
right.
No doubt about it. I don't think you're going to have any mayor ever get on here unless they own a car dealership, maybe, or a car company, you know, that's going to ever be say, you know, I'm a Vision 1 guy or a Vision 5 guy. I think we all agree.
That's a great phrase. That, yeah, you're right. Nobody's going to be like, I'm Vision 10. You know, 10 deaths a year is acceptable. Right. Yeah. I get it.
But I understand, and listen, the advocates of this, and Councilman Jones, not only do I understand the philosophical advocacy around increased safety, I think we're walking the walk at the city, certainly. And so, you know, we want to do everything that we can to increase public safety, period, whether that's our police department, whether that's on the streets. And we know that the issues that it causes. Red light cameras have left out another significant one in terms of pedestrian and bicycle safety and traffic safety. So, you know, we'll continue to do what we do. You know, again, I expect our council, this is, you know, their resolution. I expect that they'll pass that. And then we'll keep, you know, chugging along, trying to make everything as safe as possible for everybody.
Yeah. And look, I'm all for vision fewer, but as you know, everything we do to reduce a problem creates another problem, mainly cost. It's just kind of what you're hinting at, is that all of these things carry costs. And it's one of those rare cases where I really agree with Larry Downs Jr. He's like, we say, you know, if it saves just one life, well, we're not going to do public policy that way, because there are a lot of things that could, you know, save a life, but are way too cost prohibitive to make it worth the doing of it. That's the reality. One of the things that I notice about the agenda for next week is it's super bland, which is a compliment. I mean, the meetings have been boring. Is there anything on there you want to highlight that I've missed? Anything that I'm failing to see the significance of?
No, I mean, not necessarily. I think from a newsworthy standpoint, you know, the CR getting that project in under the wire where the developers needed it on Hawkshaw. You know, that not third time's the charm. I believe seventh time is the charm.
Yeah.
Finally, at Hawkshaw, I think we've got some light at the end of the tunnel. We've got a motivated investor with the capital to get this done, to bring some more housing. And this is my weekly or monthly reminder on your show, Andrew. Every type of housing is valuable to us right now. Every type. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's market rate. I don't care if it's affordable. We have a housing supply crisis. And so getting more units online leads to more affordability across the board. So we're happy to kind of see that. And that was not easy. We had to hack through a long meeting on Monday as they tried to hit a 1031 deadline on the developer side, but we got that done. So very excited for that. And yeah, you know, Andrew.
And by the way, can I pause you for just a second? Because in case people don't know, Hawkshaw is between the Veterans Memorial Park and the new hotel. The hotel, which just popped up all of a sudden, and the Hawkshaw's still not been turned ground yet. But like, that's the property you're talking about, and that's, as you say, it's been in the works for a long time. No, but people don't know, that's all. You were gonna say.
Yeah. And so I would say council meetings go in ebbs and flows. You know, you'll have one that has lots of procedural things, very small logistical things like we have this time, which means, you know, all of our hardworking staff that's been working all day gets to go, you know, have dinner with their family. And then there's ones where they absolutely know they're not going to go have dinner with their family when you've got two or three major issues of public interest and all of that. And so that's just part of the gig. So, you know, a little softer touch this meeting.
Hey, short meetings are good. I don't mind that. That saves me time. I have a question. I do not know the answer to this. I feel kind of dumb for not knowing, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think people have it. The governor either has last night or will today, I figure, sign the fluoride ban, part of the agriculture bill that he's going to sign, SB 700. Does city water, is it provided by the city? Is it provided by ECUA? And is it fluoridated right now? Like, I don't know the answer to any of these questions, and I feel like I should.
Yeah, it's all water. And I don't remember when the transaction took place. I believe there was a day at one point where the city did have control over its own water system, but then that had gone to ECUA. I don't know how far back that was. It's been many years. It wasn't 3 years ago or 5 years ago. And so, yeah, all water is with ECUA. So anybody out there, whether you're in the city or county, Pensacola Energy, which is owned by the city, is your natural gas bill. And then, of course, we got the port, the airport.
Right.
And then we have sanitation for just inside the city limits.
Okay. No, that makes – and that's why I was curious if it's going to mean an elimination of an existing thing, fluoridation, which it will be because it's ECUA water.
No.
Very good. You guys, one of the sort of semi-controversies that came up recently, it seems to come up all the time, every year, is the question of the tax abatement or exemption for the Escambia Children's Trust, about $500,000 for the county, which, if it's in the CRA, money can be used for infrastructure, parks and cameras and lights, and if it's not, it has to be used for programs, and they're on the path towards finding a solution, which I think is an okay solution. They kept saying that, you know, well, it's not really fair for us to have to do this. The city can't get their act together and hasn't come to an agreement yet, but that's not quite accurate. Yes, you haven't signed a deal, but you're planning on it, and you have a meeting coming up, right?
Exactly. So, no, we've intended, and we've made our intentions known for well over a year, actually, including to the county, that this is what we plan on going the route of a shared MOU. I think if you are an economic development in this community and you had a genie lamp and you got one wish, it would be to improve our education system, period.
Amen.
That's what it would be. And the floodgates that would open of opportunity for job opportunity, for housing opportunity, but we have such a hindrance, and we've all got amazing teachers, amazing principals that work in this county, but that's just generationally been something that's really held us back from a quality of life standpoint, an education standpoint, and certainly from a workforce standpoint, a job and economic development opportunity standpoint. So this is one of those things you've heard me say all the time, Andrew. It's easy to say as the mayor of the city, this isn't our job, and to say education's not our job, but it better be. If we want this community to be what it needs to be, it better be my job. And I flew halfway across the country and back in one day yesterday to go look at a charter school up in Wisconsin. And May 28th, we're getting all of the child care experts. I'm so gracious and appreciative of their time to come up. We have the head of the Children's Trust from Miami-Dade County coming, including their Early Learning Coalition head from Miami-Dade. So this will be a great large collection. We have people who run daycares in the city. It's a diverse group of people, and I'm asking them to help us diagnose what we can do with these funds and with additional resources from the city for us to increase child care access in the city of Pensacola. And so, you know, this has to be our job. If we want this community to thrive, we've got to increase child care access across the board, from low income to parents that I know that sleep in church parking lots because they can't find because they need to get a seat and pay full price for it.
Right.
So we've got a problem to solve. And that's why I believe this money with the taxpayers voted on this money for service. That's what they asked for, is to improve the quality of education, and that's what I intend to do with the money.
Absolutely. No, I love that, and that's looking at what's a hindrance, what's impairing or impeding educational progress, especially for our poorest citizens, and let's see how we can use these Gambia Children's Trust money with the city to make that happen. And I love the open-mindedness of let's bring in the experts and let's figure out what they recommend we do, and let's do that instead of coming up with a plan and imposing it on, you know, the experts and trying to get their buy-in after the fact. So that's all good governance. I appreciate that. We always like to end with actually, just real quick. Are you still looking at a charter school? Because you kind of mentioned that in conjunction with going to Wisconsin or whatever. Is that a still on the table? Is that something you're trying to do? Where is that at?
It's really more of a long game. With Baptist Hospital, you know, the only thing I would even say committed to is a strong word, but basically Baptist Hospital having the vision of that purpose-built community where it's mixed-income housing anchored by education.
Okay.
So that's my interest right now. It's really the long game. It's not – But what are our opportunities to partner with our local universities, the school district? What's the right way to go increase education at Baptist in the long term?
That makes perfect sense. Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right, well, I'd like to end with a bit of the lightning round, silly, ridiculous, or just in our case, fun. What's the best cracker? What's your favorite cracker?
Oh, man. You know what? That's tough. Yeah, I've always been a Triscuit guy.
Yeah, love the Triscuit. They're durable. Yeah, they're hearty. Yeah, you feel like a grown up for eating them. You know, like your grandmother would be proud of you.
They might actually fill you up instead of just all the empty calories.
That's true. Speaking of feeling like a grown up, do you feel like a grown up as the mayor of the city, or do you still feel like, man, I'm supposed to feel more adult than I am?
I say that. Some of my constituents who are unhappy with me always keep me young because they'll make some subliminal message about how young I am, and I actually take it as a compliment.
Nice.
Now. I'm like, well, man, I am 41. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not a kid anymore. But thank you for. Like, I think people maybe think that I'm younger than I am. Maybe I'm wearing good makeup or something.
Nice. Last one for this part. Name a massively popular TV show that you just never watched a single episode of.
Oh man! Game of Thrones. That's the one that
okay.
I think of all the
right.
time.
Very good.
It got too far out. Too many seasons. I don't have that time commitment. I just gave up. I never even gave it a shot.
And actually, it's kind of funny. It's something you and I were going to talk about. We didn't get a chance to, and we've only got like 30 seconds maximum. But somebody texted in. Can you ask them about Bay Bluffs? And I know you have some news.
Yeah. So it's stuck in no man's land between DEP and Conservation Florida. It's their grant that they helped us get. So I've been calling our lobbyists actually in Tallahassee this week to try to unfurl that. So ball's not in our court yet, but we're aggressively trying to get it in our court so we can get this going finally. But the money is still there, and we're trying to work through it.
Perfect. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for calling back in after your phone shut off on you. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about a home or a rental or an investment, a fixer-upper, or you want to sell your home, you're thinking about moving, downsizing, upsizing, or, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe you just have always wanted to live on the beach and you don't want to move out of your regular home, so you want to pick up a second. Everybody's got a different thing. The problem is a lot of times we mull over information on our own and then we make a decision. And then we call an expert to get them to help us implement that decision. You know, we get a realtor after. I'm just recommending that you should call Christina Leavenworth before you make a decision. Call her and ask, you know, what's the market doing? Ask her what you can afford. Ask her what you're, you know, how much do you think we need to, you know, afford something like this? Or is now the right time? Or, you know, are rentals making money, short-term or long-term? Because they're different things, right? Because she can help you make a good decision and then help you implement it. Instead of you kind of getting all invested and having made a decision, and then maybe it turns out not to be a great one, but you're not willing to see that because you've already invested, you know. Anyway, instead of calling the expert after, call the expert in the process. And if you don't even have a decision you're trying to make, but you just have a question you want answered, she's a fabulous resource. Sold 165 homes last year. She and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty. Christina Leavenworth, 723-9158.
Pensacola Beach is a wonderful place to vacation and celebrate with your family. If you thought about having a family celebration or a memorable beach wedding, Casa de Luna still has good dates available this year. Casa de Luna is spacious, with room for large families. It has 9 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. And the pool can be heated. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level.
It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another has a genuine jacuzzi. There's a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Have you given your auto loan a second thought lately? Just like you might refinance a home for a better deal, you can do the same with your auto loan. Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennEar Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you could skip payments for the first 90 days. Take your old auto loan off of autopilot with PennEar to lower your interest and payments. Learn more at PennEar.org/auto-refi. That's PennEar.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PennEar for complete details.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Hall's Hardware in Milton.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters, and the Eloi their servants.
You'll say the world has come between us, our lives have come between us. Still, I know you just don't.
Nothing, John.
Care.
No,
I'm still trying to
glimpse of recognition for Eloi and Morlocks. I just don't know how we can have a conversation.
Oh, we do all the time. We do all the time.
If you don't know the time machine, you know, you don't.
That's been
for you.
Ever.
But the book, the movie, then okay.
Yeah, all right, rebook.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
It doesn't have pictures.
I need pictures. The comic book did. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. There's a new report out that says President Trump plans to revive a controversial idea to lower drug prices.
According to Politico, Trump is expected to sign an executive order early next week that would direct his staff to pursue most favored nation pricing for drugs within the Medicare program. MFN pricing would ensure that Medicare gets the same low drug prices that drug makers offer to other countries. Trump announced a similar plan during his first term, but it faced strong opposition from the pharmaceutical industry. I'm Michael Kastner.
You know, I feel vaguely like MFN is a euphemism substitute for a swear word.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, you know, you print that instead of the other thing that you were trying to say. Go ahead.
Apparently, silver and gold might be making a comeback as a currency in Missouri. State representatives this week approved a bill that would make gold and silver legal tender in the state. It would not, however, require businesses to accept precious metals as payment.
I just can't hear you say that without singing Yukon Cornelius in my head. Silver and gold.
Gold and silver. Silver and gold. Wahoo! Nothing.
I love the 5 o'clock hour.
It's It's a whole different thing, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Go
it's
on.
Great.
Go on.
And a 50-year-old Soviet probe is tracking to re-enter Earth's atmosphere sometime this week. The Cosmos 482 probe was launched in 1972, meant for Venus. Apparently it malfunctioned. It's been stuck in Earth's orbit ever since. The dead spacecraft, which is around the size of a car, was built to survive the hottest planet in the solar system and may even survive re-entry into the atmosphere.
Wait, come on!
That's what they're saying.
The Soviet probe is designed to survive the hottest planet in the solar system, Venus. Dude, come on!
It was 1972. Don't forget that.
All right. I'm just,
okay.
My 14-year-old has to go back inside now. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:59. Stop saying probe! David, really. There are times when David just looks at me with this, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I can't help. I can't fix it. I have nothing to add. Just make it stop, please. I love you so much, David. Thanks for putting up with me all these times.